Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 109. Ryan Leninger is a certified financial planner and a partner with Plant Moran. And he's here to answer your questions as well. 312-981-7200. You can text or you can call as always. So, Ryan, I begin here as we look back to 2021. It seemed like no matter what was happening in the world, in the real world, the market overall was, despite volatility, was pretty happy about things. I don't know how, but they seemed to be.
It was really good, Steve, and great to be with you today. Yeah, this is the third year in a row, in fact, of really strong double-digit returns for most equity markets. So the S&P 500 was up 28.7% last year.
What's the average, when it does go up, what's the average that it goes up?
Well, if you look back over history, over 90 years of history, the large cap U.S. market, if you will, has averaged about 10% a year.
So 28% is amazing.
28% is amazing.
So who would have guessed in the year of a pandemic continuing, not to mention all the other things happening in the world, that it would go up 28%? What is your explanation?
Yeah, and then 18% in 2020.
Yeah.
Before that, it was up 31% in 2019. So three consecutive years of well over average returns.
So people, I want to know why.
Mm-hmm.
But people, I want to know also why not. So people blame or credit the president, Trump or Biden, depending on the year you're talking about there. Does the president really have a lot to do with it, or does he or she potentially?
Yeah, I would argue that the president doesn't have a ton to do with that. A lot of it is based, like there will be some improvements in markets or declines based on policy, good or bad policy, but policy takes years to really implement many times. So there's certainly, markets are always future looking and trying to anticipate what is coming down the road. And so from a presidential standpoint, you could say it has a small effect. But really what it comes back to is what are the fundamentals of what's happening with the consumer, what's happening with policy, and then are corporations from a stock standpoint, because there's lots of different types of investments, but with stocks, how are earnings? How are profits? And profits have been tremendous the last few years. There was certainly a scare in March of 2020 when the pandemic hit and everybody was trying to figure out how are we going to operate in this environment. And what you found is that there was a lot of ingenuity that happened during a really terrible time. It was a terrible time for a lot of people. It still is today. You know, health issues and all of those things are certainly a concern. But as we started to reopen through 2020 and into 2021, and most industries found a lot of innovation, you saw profits soar. While the consumer's balance sheet, if you will, became really strong the last 5 to 10 years after the previous financial crisis. So consumer balance sheets, corporate balance sheets are really, really strong. Some of the strongest we've seen in 40 years,
but
and that's been healthy.
Here's what confuses me. I mean, we talked with Sam Toya, the CEO, president of the Illinois Restaurant Association. And he points out that most restaurants in this state anyway are small businesses.
Mm-hmm.
As one example. So, yes, those big companies, certainly some pharmaceutical companies who have vaccines, did very, very well. But on the other hand, what about the smaller companies that have nothing to do with the stock market? They may, individuals who work there may buy into the stock market or not, mm-hmm. you know. What about them? And unemployment has turned into, there are lots of terms. I guess re-employment is one of them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, unemployment rates are now back to essentially pre-pandemic levels.
We have more people leaving jobs than ever before, not to mention all the people being sick. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about people who have quit because they want something different, but I guess they have found what they're looking for.
Well, there's really high demand for talent today. When you have, and we can talk about inflation and some of the things a lot of our clients ask us about, but when you have demand coming out of the pandemic that is through the roof for goods and services, what you've also found is that there's high demand for talent in all different industries. And so I think a lot of people have a lot of choice right now when demand is through the roof in the economy, and there are a lot of places that people can go. And, you know, if you're talented and you work hard, there's a lot of opportunity out there. So,
well, in fact, it's a, you know, we've heard term buyer's market. I don't know, employee's market? Is that the proper terminology?
Yeah. I mean, we just went through a whole round of raises at our company, a mid-year raise starting January 1. So we had that's our fiscal year.
Is that to keep people? Is that
we want to be competitive. We want to pay our people. We have some of the best people out there, and we care about our people. And so we want to take care of them and be very competitive in a marketplace that is competitive today.
But if you're paying them more and everything costs more, then we're talking about that word. I don't know if I'm allowed to say it on the radio. Inflation. So I want to ask you about that. Is it long term? Are we going to really be suffering? Does it go back to the Jimmy Carter days? And I want to ask you to bring out your crystal ball. Tell us what 2022 looks like. And one more question, how to make us all rich? You can
bet.
Answer. Yeah, that's no problem.
Easy.
Yeah. I figured.
Okay. Really easy, yeah.
From Platt Moran, Ryan Lininger is here, certified financial planner. We're happy to take your telephone calls, 312-981-7200. Or you can text your comments or questions. Steve Dale's Other World on WGN. It's 1:17. We're talking with Ryan Lininger. He is the certified financial planner. I didn't mean to say the certified. I suppose there are many certified financial planners at Plant Moran, right?
There are, yes. And we have a lot of them.
I'm sure. And you're a partner as well. And yes, you could text or call 312-981-7200. And yeah, we do have some text. And one is about gold. And this is not, I don't think, referring to the gold in my mouth. This is holding gold. It's a completely different thing. And also cryptocurrency. Can you comment on those two things? Two different texts.
You bet. Yeah, when it comes to gold and crypto and the word inflation that you alluded to before the break, you know, inflation is it's as high as it's been in a long time. So 6.8%.
Who hasn't noticed?
Most recently, I see it everywhere. And that happens when demand is through the roof and you have supply chain constraints. So a lot of people start saying, well, what else should we be investing in to protect against inflation? And one of the best investments is a diversified portfolio of stocks.
Not my mattress.
Well, your mattress can be fine for your emergency reserve money or, you know, that rainy day every once in a while when interest rates are as low as they are today. Because, yeah, you don't get much in your checking account or savings account today. But for most of your money or your long-term investment money, no. And stocks tend to keep up very well with inflation. And over time, that's a great protector. What is also interesting are things like commodities, you know, like gold. People go to precious metals and things like that when they're worried about inflation. And commodities and energy in particular last year was one of the highest performing stocks in the S&P 500. So you had energy and real estate really leading the way last year. So when people ask about, and gold and crypto are a little different, but they're both technically, you know, ways of paying for different things or storing a value. Bitcoin and gold actually tend to be some of the most volatile prices out there, some of the most volatile investments. A lot of people don't always realize that. They think safety, or they think, you know, maybe this is security for me. And in some ways, it could be as part of a diversified portfolio. Mm-hmm. But it's one of the most volatile assets out there. And Bitcoin in particular, Ethereum, the different cryptocurrencies out there have gotten a lot of press the last couple of years because they went up tremendously in value. What we also saw the last couple months is Bitcoin and Ethereum and all the other cryptocurrencies, for the most part, dropped about 40% in a two-month time frame.
And how much did you say the market overall went up?
Market overall over the course of 2021 went up 28.7%.
So you're comparing up 28% compared to down?
Well, it's not down from the beginning of the year, but I'm just saying Bitcoin is now at around 40,000. I haven't looked in the last day or so. And it was up as high as 67,000 just a couple months ago. So a big kind of 40% drop in just a couple months. And that's what people need to be careful of is, I think the biggest thing and the best advice I can give investors is to be disciplined and develop good investing habits. And chasing returns is never usually a good thing. So you got to be careful with that.
All right. We said the word. I'll say it again. Inflation.
Yep.
So how long are we going to have to deal with this? Now, the president has said, well, as soon as we get these supply issues straightened out, that's not exactly how he sounds, we no longer worry about it. Is that true?
There's some truth to that. Supply chain disruptions is really a big factor, as well as demand that is extremely high for everything. So, yes, the expectation is that by towards middle to late this year, you would start to see some of those things starting to ease. And I'm hopeful for that. The big question.
But you're not guaranteeing.
No, never guarantee in our business. But yeah, let's make prudent decisions, right? And let's think about things really well. Let's get back to fundamentals and let that drive decision making rather than emotion. And so I'm a big believer in behavioral finance and the study of that art because it's important that the decisions you make are based on long-term thinking, not on short-term emotion or that get-rich-quick kind of theme. So, I'm hopeful that as supply chain, and you're starting to see some supply chain easing in the last couple months. And so if that continues through this year, then you can make the argument that inflation would also come down by at least a little bit and get back to more historical norms, which would be in that more 2-3% range.
You described how the market has gone up this past year and the year before and the year before that. And overall, correct me if I'm wrong, and over the past 10 years, has done really well. When is the bottom going to fall out? Now, you guys say, it's a correction, don't worry. I don't know about correction. I say the world is ending.
Yep.
So is that going to happen? Are we going to have another correction?
Yeah, corrections are very common in investing, in long-term investing. And so on average, you would see a correction almost every 2 years. We've gone, and we've seen that. We've seen close to that in the last few years, at least close to 20%, which would be
Is that define a correction, 20%?
Yeah, 20% would be a bear market. 10% could be considered a correction or market pullback. That happens, 10% almost happens on average every year and a half. Bear markets are more every 4 to 5 years on average, but it's been, 2008 has been 13 years that we've seen a tremendous run for markets. Now, a lot of that run has been backed up by earnings, and so we've seen earnings keep up. And so even though the S&P 500 and a lot of stocks today, their valuations are getting a little rich, a little higher than normal or higher than average, there are still many places in the markets and in companies and investments that aren't as highly valued or high in price. And so there's still some really good prospects for the long-term future. So
you didn't exactly answer. Are we going to see a correction this year?
I think it's very possible.
So we should all run away?
Nope. You should be, again, disciplined. And when you see big runs in different areas, if you're talking about a diversified portfolio, when you see large runs in different parts of your portfolio, it's really important to have a disciplined approach to rebalancing.
By large runs, you mean things going haywire?
Either things going way up or way down in a portfolio. And when that happens, you should be thinking about rebalancing, trimming things that are have had some really incredible runs that are high, and buying other good long-term investments that maybe haven't done as well. And so I think now's a really good time to look at your portfolio and think about what's done extremely well the last year or two. Maybe I should trim a little bit of that and put it in another long-term investment that I own that's really good for the next 5 to 10 years as well, but is at a little bit lower price today.
Let's say you're 20... I don't know. How old are you when you get out of college? 24, something like that, right?
Depends, yeah. 21 to 24, yeah.
All right. Let's say you're in that age range. How important is it that you begin saving at that point in time? I think it was Terry Savage on this radio station who said, and I don't remember the numbers, so Terry, If you are listening by any chance, I'm getting it wrong, but I'm getting the idea right. So the number might be $500 a year, whatever the amount was, but I'm thinking that's a minimal amount. And then she said, well, over 30 years, you're going to have X amount of dollars. You're shaking your head yes.
Yeah, compounding of returns is your friend, especially when you're young. It's always your friend, but when you're young, you have a long time horizon before you're going to be quote-unquote retired or financially independent. And so investing early, saving a good chunk of your paycheck right out of the gates to your 401k, your IRAs, things that can help you build wealth over time, investing that money. We usually recommend starting somewhere in that 10 to 15% of your pay and just not thinking about it and putting it away, investing in a diversified portfolio will serve you extremely well. The later you get in life, the harder it is to try to catch up to that compounding factor of 20, 30, 40 year time horizons. So markets are your friends. And that's the biggest thing with investors is just develop really good habits early on. And it's not too late to start today if you haven't, because those are the things that really help you build wealth over time and allow you to reach your goals.
Now, on the other end of the spectrum, John Williams has been talking about this, and it's been a topic for whatever reason on this radio station. When should you take your Social Security? There are choices, according to our government. When is the right time to take it?
So the numbers say that if you wait until age 70, you get an 8% increase in your benefit year after year after your full retirement age. So you can take it early at 62, but you take a little bit of a haircut on it. You can take it at your full retirement age. Today, that's mostly around 67. Or you can wait till 70. And every year you wait, you're getting an 8% increase in your benefit. Now, if everybody knew when they were going to pass away, this would be a very easy answer. But everybody's different, right? So you have to take some of that into context and look at each person's financial plan. That's where I think the best decision-making happens with investing, with making good financial decisions around Social Security, is do you have a financial plan? Have you built that out? What are your cash flows today? What's your budget today? What are they going to be in the future? And then that really helps hone in on some of that decision-making around things like Social Security, investing, all of those kinds of things.
College loan forgiveness, I don't know if it's going to completely happen or partially happen. If it does, are we going to have to pay, all of us, pay for that at some point in time?
Somebody's got to pay for it, right? So
I don't want to pay for that kid's college.
Yeah, exactly.
You've got kids that are
about saving.
To go to college.
I've got four, yes.
I don't want to pay for your four kids.
Yeah, exactly. That's a big debate right now, right? It's been proposed in different policies, and so we'll see where that debate goes. But college is not getting cheaper. And so, again, saving for the future for your own retirement and financial independence is kind of first priority. But college for your children should be a really strong, you know, second or third priority to at least put some money away. And 529 plans can be a really great way to save in a tax-deferred way and really like almost like a Roth IRA. Plus, in the state of Illinois, the Bright Start plan allows, if you contribute to that, you actually can get up to a $10,000 to $20,000 tax deduction on your state income tax return by contributing to the Illinois plan. So that's still a really nice tax benefit today.
It is. I have a question here. Texter wants to know about estate planning. We only have like 30 seconds left.
Yeah. Well, I'll put a little plug in for our investor insights and our outlook for 2022 that we're doing on Wednesday at noon. So people can go to our website, plantmoran.com, go to services and wealth management, and they'll be able to register there because we're going to touch on a lot of good things. What's that?
How much does that cost?
It's free.
What?
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, come on. Listen.
My favorite word.
That's right. So
okay, Plant Moran, P-L-A-N-T-E,
yep.
Moran.com.
You got it. And okay. Go to services and then wealth management, and you'll see right up there our investor insights. And we'll touch a little bit on some of those topics. But estate planning 101, have a crisis plan. There are a lot of different things as you build wealth and have more wealth that you need to take into consideration with more sophisticated planning. But happy to talk through that more at another time.
Crisis plan. That sounds scary. Ryan Leninger is certified financial planner, a partner at Plant Moran, plantmoran.com, for that free webinar. It's kind of a webinar. Okay.
Yep.
Very good. Thank you so much. I feel richer after just
Me too. I love being with you, Steve. So
thank you.
Thank you.